New York, this is Democracy Now!
The number of forces that the secretary has placed on heightened alert comes up to about 8,500 personnel.
The Pentagon's placing 8,500 troops on high alert for possible deployment to Eastern Europe as tensions escalate between Russia and Ukraine. We'll speak to William Hartung and Anatol Levin, both of the Quincy Institute.
A real threat now exists of war in Europe and a Russian invasion of Ukraine. However, in my view, this could still be avoided fairly easily by a series of compromises with Russia concerning NATO membership, the deployment of NATO forces, and autonomy for eastern Ukraine.
We'll also look at the Biden administration's ongoing review of U.S. nuclear weapons policy. Dozens of groups recently issued a joint statement calling for the elimination of hundreds of U.S. intercontinental ballistic nuclear missiles. Meanwhile, the Archbishop of New Mexico has called for the abolition of nuclear weapons around the globe.
This has never happened before in U.S. church history. It's the first time an official has responded so profoundly to Pope Francis's call for nuclear disarmament.
We'll speak to longtime peace activist Father John Deere about the Catholic Church's stance on nuclear weapons and the death of his dear friend, the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Pentagon's placed 8,500 troops on heightened alert to potentially deploy to Eastern Europe over concerns Russia may soon invade Ukraine. The U.S. and NATO allies have accused Russia of amassing 100,000 troops near the Ukrainian border, but Russia's denied it's planning an invasion. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki spoke Monday.
And we have a sacred obligation to support the security of our eastern flank countries. I think it's important to remember who the aggressor is here. It is not the United States. It is not these eastern flank countries. It is Russia, who has tens of thousands of troops on the border of Ukraine.
This comes as other NATO nations are planning to send additional troops, ships, and fighter jets to Eastern Europe. On Monday, the Kremlin accused the United States and NATO of escalating tension in the region. Meanwhile, negotiations to resolve the crisis are ongoing, with officials from Russia, Ukraine, France, and Germany scheduled to meet in Paris Wednesday. We'll have more on the crisis over Ukraine after headlines. The United States reported more than 2,100 COVID-19 deaths on Monday, even as daily cases and hospitalizations continue to decline from record highs set earlier this month. Here in New York, a judge ruled Monday Governor Kathy Hochul's statewide mask mandate for all indoor public places was enacted unlawfully and is now void. Supreme Court Justice Thomas Rademacher ruled that only lawmakers, rather than the governor or health officials, had the authority to enact the mask mandate. New York's Department of Health is planning an appeal. In Virginia, seven school districts have filed suit to block Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's executive order making masks optional in schools. On Monday, the first of 400 million free N95 masks for the public began arriving at U.S. pharmacies after the Biden administration ordered them delivered from the Strategic National Stockpile. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin said Monday she's tested positive for coronavirus. Palin's announcement prompted a U.S. district judge in New York to delay the start of Palin's defamation trial against the New York Times, which was set to begin Monday. Palin has refused to be vaccinated against COVID-19, telling a conservative conference last month, quote, "It will be over my dead body that I'll have to get a shot," unquote. The New York Times reports that on Saturday, Palin dined indoors at Elio's Italian restaurant in Manhattan, despite a city ordinance requiring customers provide proof of vaccination. Burkina Faso's army leaders say they've deposed President Gaboure, suspended the constitution, dissolved parliament, and closed the nation's borders. In a broadcast on state television Monday, Lieutenant Colonel Paul-Henri Damiba was introduced as Burkina Faso's new leader. The African Union condemned the coup, as did leaders of the United Nations.
The Secretary General strongly condemns any attempted takeover of government by the force of arms. He calls on the coup leaders to lay down their arms and to ensure the protection of the physical integrity of the president and of the institutions of Burkina Faso.
A warning to our audience, the following story contains descriptions of sexual violence in Guatemala. Five former paramilitary soldiers have been convicted of crimes against humanity and sentenced to decades in prison for sexually assaulting dozens of indigenous Achi women in the 1980s. The historic ruling comes after years of advocacy by survivors and supporters. The women were not able to file criminal complaints of the atrocities until 2011. It then took over a decade for the former members of the so-called Civil Self-Defense Patrol to stand trial earlier this month. The patrol is made up of several armed groups recruited by Guatemala's U.S.-backed army. Survivors said the soldiers rounded up all the men in their village and disappeared them before raping and assaulting the women. One of the survivors who testified at the trial was only 12 years old when she was raped. In Mexico, another journalist has been assassinated in the northern border city of Tijuana. Lourdes Maldonado López is the third journalist killed in Mexico this month. She was found fatally shot inside a car Sunday. In 2019, Maldonado went to Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador's daily morning news conference and pleaded for his help because she feared for her life. This is one of Maldonado's friends and colleagues.
El mecanismo ese tenía que haber, se consistía.
The mechanism for the protection of journalists should have had a patrol car patrolling permanently outside of Lourdes' home, and they didn't do it. How is it possible that someone can come to kill a person that needs to be protected? The murderer comes, waits for her, then leaves, just like that. How is that possible?
In Turkey, prominent journalist Sedef Kabas has been jailed while she awaits trial on charges of allegedly insulting President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Kabas was detained Saturday after she tweeted a proverb that translates as, "When the ox climbs to the palace, he does not become a king, but the palace becomes a barn," unquote. Kabas is being held at a prison in Istanbul. The law on insulting the president carries a sentence of between 1 and 4 years. Tens of thousands of people have been charged and sentenced over the so-called crime during Erdogan's presidency. London's police commissioner has launched an investigation into breaches of COVID-19 lockdown rules at UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's official residence. The announcement came after ITV News reported Johnson attended an indoor birthday party during the first lockdown in June of 2020. It's the latest in a string of revelations that Johnson repeatedly flouted the strict lockdown rules that he ordered for the rest of the country. This is Keir Starmer, head of the opposition Labour Party.
This is yet more evidence that we've got a Prime Minister who believes that the rules that he made don't apply to him. And so we've got a Prime Minister and a government that spend their whole time mopping up sleaze and deceit.
In Georgia, a judge has granted a request by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to convene a special grand jury to investigate former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Willis has said she will decide whether to bring criminal charges against Trump during the first half of this year. A key piece of evidence has already been made public. On January 2, 2021, Trump asked Georgia's Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to, quote, find enough votes to overturn Joe Biden's margin of victory in Georgia.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Last year, Willis said Trump could face criminal charges, including solicitation of election fraud, conspiracy and racketeering. Meanwhile, Virginia's new Republican attorney general has fired the top attorney for the University of Virginia, a move condemned by Democrats as political retribution. The attorney, Timothy Heapfee, serves as the top staff investigator for the House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Racial justice advocates are condemning the U.S. Supreme Court's decision Monday to hear challenges against the use of affirmative action in college admissions. The cases against Harvard and the University of North Carolina were brought by the conservative group Students for Fair Admissions, founded by the right-wing legal strategist Edward Blum. Though the Supreme Court has previously upheld affirmative action, most recently in 2016, advocates fear the court's conservative majority could strike down racial justice policies policies that have allowed black and other students of color to have equal access to higher education. The case will be heard in the Supreme Court's next session, which begins in October. In labor news, some 8,400 unionized King Soopers grocery workers have ended a 10-day strike after members approved a new contract. The three-year agreement with the Kroger-owned grocery chain brings workers better health care and pension benefits, tougher workplace safety measures, and wage increases of up to $5 per hour. Three-quarters of Kroger employees, recently surveyed by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, reported they face food insecurity. Attorneys general from three states in the District of Columbia have filed suit against Google, alleging the tech giant deceived customers over their ability to protect their privacy through Google account settings. The lawsuit charges Google has for years deployed software tricks to continuously track a user's location, even when customers thought they'd opted out by turning off the location history setting in Google software. And in Iowa, prosecutors have dismissed a second case against Matt Johnson, an animal rights activist who released footage of hundreds of pigs being euthanized at two Iowa pork facilities in early 2020. Johnson is a member of the group Direct Action Everywhere. He secretly recorded video of pigs being killed at two pork plants owned by Iowa Select Farms, a major pork producer. The company was unable to send the pigs to slaughterhouses that were closed due to the pandemic, so they killed the pigs by shutting down ventilation in their barns and overheating them. In December of 2020, Matt Johnson made headlines when he posed as the CEO of the pork giant Smithfield Foods and appeared on the Fox Business Channel.
Our industry poses a serious threat in effectively bringing on the next pandemic with CDC data showing that three of four infectious diseases come from animals, and the conditions inside of our farms can sometimes be petri dishes for new diseases. Hog farming also causes immense harm to our air and waterways.
Afterwards, Fox Business realized they'd been punked. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. When we come.
Mettez-vous à l'aise. Soyez belle et bougie. Soyez juste belle et bougie. 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 Oh là. Come on. Belle et bougie. Belle et bougie. Il a appris que le bon doit se venger. Elle a appris que le temps c'est de l'argent. Comment lui parler du monde que je connais? Comment lui montrer la langue du pardon? On l'a bloqué par un mur de rejet. On l'a noyé dans la mare du regret. On l'a frappé comme un sac sans façon. On l'a jeté dans un bac de pression. Comment je voulais lui dire de se poser? L'univers autour de nous c'est bête, bête. Les enfants sont exposés. Leurs petits cœurs vont imploser. Je veux leur parler de lieux que je connais. Je veux leur dire de se foutre des sommets. Parfois je n'ai plus de mots pour les calmer. Tu vas me dire pour fichier pour les blâmer. Je les enseigne.
Well, Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 19 degrees Celsius. That is the lowest temperature we'll experience for a while, as the temperature will rise over the next 2 weeks. Thursday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 10 degrees Celsius. Friday there will be scattered flurries and a high of minus 10 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of minus 11 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 13 degrees Celsius. Monday will bring a few flurries and a high of minus 12 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 11 degrees Celsius. Next week, we'll be going up into the minus single digits.
Yeah. Welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower, but you can listen to it wherever you want.
The whole point of this podcast is that we take the mysteries of the world, the questions you have always wondered the answer to, and we answer them. We debunk them in a bite-sized, informative way. Thus far, we've answered questions like...
Why do we have a dominant hand?
Do plants have feelings?
Why do we kiss with tongues? It's gross.
Why does our hair turn grey?
And loads, loads more.
I suppose you could say...
We expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week is no different.
This week is a little bit different. It's a bit more serious than the usual
week,
question.
This week's episode is definitely a bit more serious.
Like, we've talked about like bum wiping and tongue kissing and stuff like that. This is getting real.
This is getting real. I feel like Marcus and I are going to take our podcasting social responsibility here and do an episode that hopefully will help everybody... help the environment.
What is this week's topic?
This week's question is, why is plastic so bad? Okay, so as I said, this episode is going to be bleak enough. There's no denying it. Plastic production and plastic pollution are two of the leading concerns when we look at environmental issues. But most of us, including me really, and probably you too, don't really know the ins and outs of why it's that bad.
Yeah, plastic was created to be like this amazing material that could break boundaries and make, you know, everything just more convenient. Like, it was cheap, easy, everything like that. And now it's just gotten crazy. It's like, You know, in the same way that dynamite was created for good and mining and everything like that, and then all of a sudden it's like blowing people up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it just got way out of hand.
That's exactly. It's kind of similar, actually. Yeah.
So, like, if we go back to the beginning, when was plastic actually created? When did this all start?
So we're going to go way back to 1907 when a lad called Leo Bakeland invented Bakelite, the first fully synthetic plastic, meaning it contained no molecules found in nature. Bakeland had been searching for a synthetic substitute for shellac, which is a natural electrical insulator, to meet the needs of the rapidly electrifying United States. Bakelite was not only a good insulator, it was also durable, heat-resistant, and ideally suited for mechanical mass production. Marketed as the material of 1,000 uses, Bakelite could be shaped or molded into pretty much anything, providing endless possibilities. Bakeland's successes led major chemical companies to invest in the research and development of new polymers, and then new plastics soon joined.
That is absolutely mental. I did, for one, I thought it was more recent. Plastic, the first fully synthetic material, dates far back as 1907. So, I mean, did it take off that fast?
World War II kind of necessitated a great expansion of the plastic industry in the US alone. Nylon, invented by Wallace Carruthers in 1935 as a synthetic silk, was used during the war for parachutes and ropes, body armor, helmet liners, and so much more. Plexiglass provided an alternative to glass for aircraft windows.
Yeah.
And a Time magazine noted that because of the war, plastics have been turned to new uses, and the adaptability of plastics demonstrated all over again. During World War II, plastic production in the US alone increased by 300%.
What?
Yeah, isn't that mad?
So literally it just took a war to make plastic mainstream. Back then everyone was pro-plastic, everyone thought it was great, they were having plastic parties, they were digging it, but did they know about the negatives?
So the optimism about plastics absolutely did not last. So plastic debris in the oceans was first observed in kind of like the 1960s. In 1969, a major oil spill occurred off the Californian coast. This polluted the Cuyahoga River in Ohio, which caught fire, raising concerns about pollution. As awareness about environmental issues spread, people definitely started to get more clued in on the negative effects of plastic.
So that's in the late 60s, that's like 69. And at that point, were people recycling? Like, were they kind of, was this a thing at that point?
Not quite. So about 20 years later, in the 1980s, the plastic industries led an influential drive, encouraging cities and towns to collect and process recyclable materials as part of their waste management systems. However, as you may have guessed, recycling is far from perfect, and most plastics still end up in landfills or in the environment. It's definitely better than landfill alone, but believe it or not, 79% of plastics produced over the last 70 years or so have been thrown away, either into landfill sites or into the general environment. Just 9% is recycled, and the rest is incinerated.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
79% of the plastic in the last 70 years. Like, I cannot get my head around how much plastic that is.
Yeah.
So that's, I suppose, God, like, that, I'm shocked by that. And so that's kind of the story of the history of plastic and where it came from. Now, I suppose, getting to the question of the episode. Why is it so bad?
Okay, so here goes it. First, to make plastic, we, of course, need oil. Before we can even address the issues discarded plastics present to the planet, we have to talk about the dangers they cause to the environment as they are just simply being produced. Petroleum and natural gas are required to manufacture plastics. For the 30 million plastic bags used in the US per year alone, 12 million barrels of oil are required. And for all of the water bottles manufactured in the US each year, roughly 17 million barrels of oil are needed just for plastic disposable water bottles.
I can't even visually imagine what 17 million barrels would look like. And that's just for plastic bottles. Like, that's if you're going to get a bottle of River Rock or Evian and you're just chucking it.
That's exactly it. And also, the drilling, transportation and processing of this oil into plastic materials is an energy intensive process that involves burning fossil fuels, which ultimately furthers the effects of climate change. Estimates for the amount of carbon released from plastic manufacturing vary anywhere from kind of 100 million to 500 million tons per year as the direct result of plastic manufacturing. So before we get to the issues of waste, just to produce plastic, we are hurting the environment that much.
That, my jaw is on the floor. Like, I knew plastic was bad, but so far, like, this is terrifying. Sorry, listeners, if you are also terrified, if you're holding a plastic bottle right now going, what have I done? Jesus, but, like, it's mad. We hear a lot about how plastic is polluting our seas and our rivers and everything like that. I had no idea how destructive it is to produce in the first place.
On that point, before we chat about the plastic production in our oceans and seas, let's talk about landfill. While it would be nice to think that all plastics end up in a recycling plant once they are done with, it just ain't true. Sadly, about 80% of plastic water bottles used each year end up in landfill. That's roughly 38 billion water bottles.
38 billion?
38 billion water bottles. Numbers for shopping bags are even worse. Between 0.5 and 3% of plastic bags are recycled, sending an estimated 100 billion plastic bags to landfill each year. Think that plastic has just been created, harming the planet just so you can contain your water or your food in it for an hour or so, then for it to be dumped.
I suppose, yeah, that's single-use plastic, isn't it? Like plastic that's just used once and dumped.
Correct. And while landfills are designed to withhold their materials and seclude them from the surrounding environment, landfills often end up leaking a variety of nasty pollutants. Leachate, liquid that forms as materials break down in a landfill, often leaks through the lines of the landfill and can pollute groundwater below. Greenhouse gases like methane are produced from decaying material inside landfills, leaking into the atmosphere and furthering climate change.
Jesus, this episode is so bleak.
I know.
But you know what? I actually, like, I'm learning here and it's showing me how important it is to make an effort.
Yeah.
So then plastic that's not in landfills, is it in the oceans?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
And although it's kind of difficult to identify exactly how much plastic is in the ocean due to microparticles and the amount that is just sunk to the bottom, most scientists estimate that 8 million metric tons of plastic end up in our oceans each year, adding to the estimated 150 million metric tons that currently are circulating our oceans. Kind of to put that number into perspective, the amount, think about this,
yeah,
is equivalent to a garbage truck, a massive bin lorry,
yeah,
of plastic being dumped into the ocean every minute of every year.
What?
Every minute of every year, one of those massive trucks, rubbish trucks being dumped.
Packed to capacity
to the brim
with plastic.
Brim of plastic. Every minute of every year. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, according to Ocean Conservancy, in 2050, scientists predict that there will be more plastic in the oceans than there are fish.
Oh no, like, no more, more plastic than fish.
I know.
So like, no Nemo, no Dory.
I know.
I don't want to live in that world.
And Marcus, I know this next one is going to be particularly hard for you to take.
I don't know if I can take any more of this. I feel emotionally battered.
By producing and dumping plastic, we're killing the mood for fish.
Killing the mood for fish? They don't want to boink?
Yeah.
Because there's like bits of plastic floating by them. Maybe it's just that people are disposing condoms in the sea and fish are using them and not reproducing. But you know what? I don't want to have any part to play in this.
So plastics in aquatic ecosystems don't just become a problem when they are wrapped around an animal. We've all seen pictures of turtles and whales being wrapped up in plastic, or end up blocking their digestive systems. Plastic can also introduce a chemical warfare in the bodies of the fish. And scientists are actually finding that it is killing the reproductive health of many fish species. Scientists have observed BPA exposure to some freshwater fish species as a source of confusion for the fish, which makes it difficult for them to pursue their own species to mate. Clearly, a fish of one species attempting to mate with a fish of another species will not result in reproductive success for either.
So, plastic is killing wildlife and sea life, is it good or bad for us? I mean, obviously it's convenient and everything, but is it bad? Like, if fish are ingesting plastic and we ingest the fish, that couldn't be good.
Absolutely, surely. Absolutely. So fish consume plastics both intentionally and unintentionally. And these plastics, depending on how long they've been floating in the water for, may have a variety of chemicals attached to them, such as heavy metals, PCBs and other pollutants. Once fish absorb these chemicals from ingested plastic, these chemicals are free to enter the bodies of the fish and enter the bodies of anything higher up in the food chain, including humans.
So just to hammer it home a little bit more, plastic is bad. I hear you loud and clear. It's killing fish. It's polluting landfills. Only a tiny percentage of it is being recycled, like a terrifyingly small amount. Are there any upsides here? Are there any positives?
Well, genuinely, for the first time, human beings from all walks of life are really taking a massive interest in the environment and plastic production. We're seeing a huge increase in the amount of reusable coffee cups and water bottles being used, as well as supermarkets making a bigger effort to stock unpackaged veg and food. Sure, we're doing an episode, which we definitely would not have done a few years ago, on plastic production.
So, if there's anyone listening to this who's looking to decrease their amount of single-use plastic, what's a good starting point?
There's absolutely loads of kind of hints and tricks. If everyone took these little steps, it would make such a huge difference. I'm going to get you to read out some of them because I feel like this is just me chatting the whole episode.
No, but you know what? There was a good message in this episode, and I think it's important.
So hit me with the first one.
First off, buy yourself a reusable coffee cup. Taz and I, we both have plastic keep cups that we love. They're nicer to drink out of. Usually you get a discount in your local coffee shop. And also, like, they'll last for years.
On that note, get a reusable water bottle, again, for all the above reasons. Plus, it will absolutely get you to drink more water.
Taz just bought me an Ion 8 leak-proof water bottle. We're not sponsored by them or anything. It's just, you know, it's the one that I have. And I try not to leave the house without it. It's like a 500ml bottle, and I'm probably drinking 3 or 4 litres of water a day because I just keep it in my bag and refill it everywhere. It's great. Another is, of course, shopping bags. If you have a tote bag in your backpack or handbag, you'll never know when you might need them. They fold down really small. They're convenient. They're easy. Worst case, if you've forgotten your bag, look around the shop for a cardboard box or ask someone working there and then recycle that box.
Something new that I've introduced in 2018 is a shampoo bar. I bought one from Lush. It was about €8 and it's lasted about 2 months. I buy the seaweed one and it leaves my hair feeling better than any shampoo ever has. How good does my hair look, Marcus?
Absolutely phenomenal. when buying groceries, try to buy loose when you can. I know they can be more expensive, but for the sake of an extra €50 a year, you could greatly be cutting down on your plastic consumption, which could cut down on associated fees and just make your life a lot easier and you would be a better person. On that note, bring your own lunchboxes to the butcher, to the bakery, instead of getting a disposable container as well. These are little things that once they become a habit, it'll just...
You won't even realise you're doing it.
You won't even realise you're doing it. It'll just be... And it's good for everyone.
Finally, say no to straws. Often bartenders will put straws in our drinks without even realising they are doing it. So when you're ordering, say something along the lines of, 2 delicious Sex on the Beaches, please, Mr. Bartender, and I'm okay for the straws.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Or use paper straws.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, absolutely. So, in conclusion, plastics are bad, but you can be good.
You can be good, and if we all group together, we can make a difference. If all of you who are listening to this podcast implemented just one or two of the changes that we listed there, we really could make a change for the better.
That was a little break from our usual kind of episode there. Wasn't all fun and jokes and everything like that, but honestly, I hope that you take something away from this one.
It is kind of, it wasn't as upbeat and cheery, but we can do things to make a difference in this scenario. We can help this scenario get better. So I hope that everyone listening does so.
Yeah, if even one of you.
On that note, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I know when it started, you may have been a bit like, oh God, I was expecting Taz and Marcus to talk about poo. And then we started talking about plastic production, which isn't as funny as poo. But thank you so much for sticking it through for the last 15 or so minutes. We love you.
You are absolutely wonderful. If you want to get in touch with us, It couldn't be easier. Go on to Facebook and search In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or if you want to get us on Twitter, it's at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to say hi or that you like the podcast, or of course, if you have a question that you would like us to answer on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, send us an email to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Couple of thank yous just before we wrap up the episode. Big thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for doing our cover art. We love you, Flo.
Flo, you are a hero. Big thank you to Dave Gertzman, our jingle man. Check him out on Instagram at Dave's Recordorama.
Before we announce what next week's question is, I want to ask one more favour. I've just released a fictional podcast. It's a 6-part series called Prospect 57, and the story follows a hate crime that was committed on the night of Pride on an LGBT bartender. It's really, really great. 6 30-minute episodes. I'd love if you had a listen. And I'd love if you let me know if you like it.
It is absolutely fantastic. I've had a listen and I'm so proud of Taz. So do have a listen. It's called Prospect 57. It's available on iTunes and any podcast platform.
Exactly. Have a listen. Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question comes from Bridget Boyden. And she asks, ooh, chilly. What causes brain freeze?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
Thank you. true.
Days
I've known my share of sin and of my demons, I'd say. My foolish pride, one good iron core liquor in my veins. But I got steady hands, I'm sound of mind, not easily shaken. I never took a life, you'd agree, didn't need to be taken. But I took some cash off good folks heading northbound. Then I took my leave upon a boxcar headed south. Well, I took some cash off good folks headed northbound. Then I took my leave upon a boxcar headed south.
Well, that wraps up the Wednesday Morning After for this week. Keep on listening to CKUT. Out across the countryside, lost among the trees. Bury my body underneath the sun. No stone to mark my name. Out of sight of anyone. Let any recollection drift away on to the breeze. Out across the countryside, lost among the trees. Out across the countryside, lost among the trees, yeah.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
You are tuned to 90.3 CKUT in Montreal. Today's show is going to feature mostly songs from 2021. There may be a few from last year and maybe from prior to that in the show, but we'll try to feature this year's recordings. Glad you're with me. Stay tuned.